Here again, thanks, guys. He is the King of Glory. Appreciate that. Go ahead. This morning, I want to talk to you. Our lemonade stand is take a cruise. You know, and I wish I could pay for everybody to take a cruise. I've heard about those church cruises where these groups get together, and they do. They go out on a cruise together. I'm thinking, well, that's great. Of course, if we all had a couple $1,000s, I think we can do that. The other day, I went to the doctor's, and somebody said, "Where are your shorts, Pastor? I thought you got a cast. Did you cut it off?" Because I threatened to cut it off. I had it for about a day and said, "This is enough of this thing." They said it would be better for me. So anyway, I have a cast. It's my neon green. I had two choices. It was either going to be hot pink, neon pink, or it was going to be green. And the lady looked at me and she said, "You know, we've never had a man. We've had some boys, but we've never had a man get a pink cast. You would be the first." And I said, "Well, let me not have that honor. I won't be the first." So I got green, and it's very uncomfortable. And as soon as I got my cast on for 3 weeks, I was on my way out and got in my van. I didn't think I was going to have a cast. Susan was gone to Lansing working. And so I'm kind of on my own thinking, how am I going to do this? I mean, getting in the car, I could bend my leg a little bit to get in the van. Now my leg is so straight, I can't hardly get it in there and get it around to get into the vehicle. And I'm thinking, oh, this is great. So I finally get squeezed in there. I thought, okay, drive home. I looked, I was going to call Susan and tell her, I got a cast. This is great. I didn't want a cast, but I got the... And I go to use my phone. My cell phone's dead, and I look, and the charger is in the other vehicle. And I'm thinking, oh, great. So I pull out of orthopedics, and I'm going across 10th Street Bridge. I get across 10th Street Bridge. I'm just driving down. It's about 35 mile an hour there, two lanes. There's a van next to me. And I'm about to the Jefferson Center, and a lady in her town car decides to turn left, but she wasn't at the street. She was up the street. And she turns, and she wants to hurry up and get in front of this van that was next to me, and so she sped, and I went, oh, she's in my lane. And so I go to lock up the brakes, thinking, okay, if she'll stop, we'll be okay here. She accelerated in my lane now, coming down my lane, thinking she's going to make the street that's now almost behind me. The only way to do that is to go through me. So I'm doing about 35, going to lock up the brakes. She's now accelerated to more than 35, and I'm thinking, I've got two choices. This is going to be a head-on in my new cast, or I'm going to turn. And I looked, and there was a tree and a fire hydrant to the right on the curb. And so I, with brakes, I thought locked, although my anti-locks kept them from locking, no skid marks. I hit the curb, went airborne, and boom, into the tree. Yes, in Susan's new minivan with my new cast. Forget the van. I had a new cast. You moaned more for the van than you did my cast. There's something wrong. There you go. I'm sitting there. I can't believe what just happened. Thinking that fire hydrant had I must have hit that too and just ground the side of the van because it was right there. How hard did I hit the tree? I don't know. I'm just kind of sitting there stunned, partway in the street, partway on the curb, and just having bounced off this tree. The lady pulls around the street and she stops, and this elderly, wonderful lady just sits in her car. I'm sitting in my van thinking, how am I going to get out? Is everything okay? What's broken? Then I thought, this is going to be great. I'm in a cast. I've got to get back, get my crutches, in an accident. And I'm sitting there for about 5 minutes, and nobody stops. Nobody who witnessed this thing go both ways, and nobody is stopping. Finally, she gets out, and she comes up, and I'm sitting there thinking, we need the police. My phone's dead. I can't call the police. I want my mommy. I can't call her either. The lady walks up, I roll my window down, and she just stares at me. Are you okay? I said, I think so. Have you got a phone? She said, yes, I do. I said, will you call the police? And she said, I don't know their number. Okay, let's try this. It's 911. And she said, oh, okay. And she walked away. I don't think she ever did call them. Finally, a few more minutes go by, and an ambulance happened to be going by. Good timing. Thank you, Lord. They stop because it's their job, and they're the only ones who stop because as an EMT, they are required. They have to stop. It's who they are. They stop, and they come up right away to my vehicle, seeing what's going on. They go, we knew something was wrong because you're illegally parked. And I thought, I got a great bunch here. This is good. A lady who doesn't know 911 and a comic here in an ambulance. And he says, are you okay? I said, sure. He says, can you get out? And I thought, this is great. I get out and he sees this cast. He goes, oh my. The police are going to want to see this. They're going to say, you guys are good. You were on the scene and had him bandaged up before we even got there. So I'm standing out there in the crutches and not a single person had stopped. Finally, about 20 minutes later, the police showed up. And they came and filled out a report. And I thought to myself, isn't this interesting? Here I am, crashed into a tree. Who knows if there's children in the car in our minivan? Who knows if there's somebody hurt? And not a single individual would stop. And I thought to myself, I live in Port Huron. Of course people will stop in Port Huron. No, my son's girlfriend didn't stop either. She drove by and called my son. Hey, your dad's been in an accident. So she knew. He knew when I got home I'd been in an accident. Who called Susan and said, hey, he's been in an accident. And I'm thinking to myself, what kind of world do we live in when we're so busy taking a cruise that we cannot stop for shipwrecks? I'm telling you, we live in a world that when people pass by, you're going along and you think, I need help here. And nobody knows my situation. I'm sitting in a cast in a vehicle with no phone. I have no way of crying out for help. And I'm saying, oh God, do we live in such a world that we can't cry out for help? That nobody would stop to us? I believe we live in a world, and if there's a danger in the church, it's this. We've all decided to take a cruise. And we're just cruising right along through life, and we don't stop for folks. Because we don't even hear that they're... We may even see them, but we're not even sure they're in trouble. And if they're in trouble, it always comes up, well, what can I do? Can I tell you something? It was actually nice that that paramedic set me into a better mood when he said, well, I know something's wrong. You're not illegally, you're illegally parked here. At that moment, my whole spirit changed. And I thought, this is okay. And I said to him, how's the van? My wife just bought this. I said, how's the van? And he said, I don't think you hit the tree. You're about that far away in the front. I said, how could I not hit the tree? I went airborne. I said, are there skid marks? He said, nope. I said, how did I stop at 35 miles an hour? I said, how's the side where the fire hydrant is? You're not going to believe this. He went over and he says, man, are you lucky? He says, the fire hydrant's that far from the side of your van. You must have just went right on by it about 2 inches. And I said, God must have cushioned that. I had an airbag because I was waiting for my airbag. 5 miles an hour, your airbag will go off. And I was waiting. I've been in a head-on about... Well, it was 9 years ago. Totaled my car. A guy pulled out, same kind of thing. I'm going, flashback, here we go again. And I'm bracing, thinking, I got one broken leg. Here comes the second one. Oh, Lord, let this airbag work. And when I hit, and I knew I hit, and I came back, I hit and bounced off the tree. The airbag never went off. The car never got scratched. And a little bit of paint off the front end. And I said, thank you, Lord, because when I was in the air, I believe the hand of God grabbed a hold of my van. Now, beyond that, as I'm sitting there, God sent me someone, but he was required by law to stop. And they were from Saginaw, the tri-county paramedics. And I said, are you from here? He said, nope, we're from Saginaw. We were just coming through. And I said, thank you, Lord, that somebody would stop. Had they not stopped, I'm not sure the police would ever got there because this poor lady, I don't think she ever did dial the number. And I think, what a tragedy when the church just goes on by. Do you know how many churches, anybody have any idea how many churches are in this area, just in this county alone? I guarantee you there's more than 2. There's more than 10. There's more than 50. And do you know that 90% of the people this morning will wake up and never even attend a service in this county? And around America, people are looking at the church and saying, why would I want to go on that ship? Why would I want to take a cruise with them? They're on a cruise to paradise. They got 2 tickets to paradise. Pack your bags. We leave tonight. Hey, I go to church. I don't need to worry about the world. I'm just worried about me. And I'm just cruising along. I see them crashing. And I want you to know that we have a story in the Bible. And I'm telling you what, it is the cruise that I want to take. Look in your Bible at this man Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. This guy is amazing. Now this is not my mom, or my sis, or my sister, but if I don't sit down, I'm going to be in trouble. She works actually at orthopedics. See, they, I don't know about you, but I get personal care. They send them to church. All right. All right. Thank you. She stopped by yesterday, brought me donuts, and she says, look at your foot. What are you doing? I said, I just got up to go to the bathroom. She said, sit down. I said, I will, but I have to go to the bathroom. Carolyn is wonderful. She has been really looking out for me, so thank you for that. And this is very comfortable. Thank you. I think. As we take a cruise and we look at Zacchaeus, look, this is going to be hard for me to sit still. Wave my hand. I want you to take a look at this. Here's Jesus, and here's a guy whose life is shipwrecked. The Bible says, and by the way, Jesus was not going to see Zacchaeus. I think that's important. You look at verse 1. It says Jesus was what? On his way, passing through town. I'm just passing through. These guys were on their way to Saginaw. They're going home. They didn't have time. And are you ready for this? They got on their walkie-talkies, the EMT, and he said, he called it in, and they said, you need to fill out paperwork. He goes, why? We just stopped. We're not even going to help anyone. Nobody's hurt. And they go, you still have to do paperwork. I said, I'm so sorry for that. He goes, no, it's okay. It's what we have to do. Can I tell you something? As a church, it is what we have to do. Listen, we are required not by any law. We are required by the heart that we have beating inside of us. When we see people hurting, we are to stop and help. And here is Jesus giving us an example of taking a cruise, but he's not on cruise control. He's not up on the Lido deck with his feet back drinking a pina colada. Jesus Christ is on a boat taking a cruise. He's on his way through town, and look what he does. He does a couple of things here. The first thing he does is he throws out a line. He throws out his cruise line. Here's the line. I have come to seek and save that which is lost. That is our cruise line motto. As a church, we are to seek and save that which is lost. Look at what it says. It says, he was passing through, and as he came, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. Of course he was wealthy. Tax collectors made money by doing this. You would have to pay your taxes. Oh, help me. Property taxes, income taxes. I don't know about you, but I do not like paying any of them. I cannot believe the township of Fort Gratiot just raised their property taxes. When the housing market has plummeted, they decided your house is worth more, even though the bank says it's worth less, because we want more money to do more stuff. And I understand about taxes and how that works, but I don't understand how they can tax us more. Well, guess what? You know how this guy got paid? He had to collect the taxes, but not only that, but for him to get his income, he had to collect more from you. And so when you had to pay $1,100 for your property tax, he charged you $1,400. And that $300 went in his pocket. That's how he was paid. He was a chief tax collector. He was the chief tax collector, and he was a wealthy man. Jesus, Luke wants you to know this today. He was wealthy, and he was high up in business. But you know what? He was shipwrecked. He was shipwrecked. And look at what takes place. Jesus is passing along, and the first thing he does is he throws out a cruise line. Look at verse 5. He says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. He decides to throw a line. And I love this. We live in a world where we're cruising along. And I'll tell you, if you just look outside the ship a few times, if you just look outside your own world, you'll look in the water, and I guarantee you, you're going to see people floating all over the place. There are people floating in the water. And you know what they're doing? They're drowning. Some are floating and drowning, and they don't even know they're drowning. Some are floating and holding on to stuff, and they think, hey, I'm doing okay. I'm not drowning. Don't worry about me. And they're holding on to something. You're thinking, that's going to sink you. Are you kidding me? What are you holding on to? And they're holding on to things in this world thinking, I got me a lifesaver. The only lifesaver in this world is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's going to get you out of the storm and keep you from drowning. You can hold on to everything you want, but folks, I'm going to tell you, it's going to get waterlogged, and it's going down, and the devil has tossed us a lot of fake rings and buoys, and we grab onto those thinking, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. Can I tell you something? We're all sinking in this thing together, and Jesus Christ has rescued me, pulled me up, cleaned me up. He threw me a lifeline, and that lifeline was to seek and save that which is lost. And here is Zacchaeus. He is so shipwrecked. He hears about Jesus, and I love this. He says, I got to see who Jesus is. You know how many people ask that question? I just want to see who Jesus is. He didn't know what was about to happen while he was floating out there in life. Do you know how many of you in here, I'm sitting down. I can't do this. Folks, I want to just jump up and down and scream at the top of my lungs, but I'll sit here and do it instead. We have all been rescued, and many of us, if not all of us, never wanted to be rescued in the first place. But the moment that rope hit the water, you grabbed a hold of it, something entered into your heart, and you knew it was different. And you got pulled up onto the good ship. And you were on this cruise with Jesus, and He cleaned you up, He fixed you up, and you said, this is what life's all about. I like this. But what happens in the church is we get up there, and we forget who we are. And we find ourselves sitting in a chair, drinking a pina colada, enjoying it. Now, I don't mean if... I know I've said that twice in reference. Trust me. I've never had one. If you have one, that's up to you. What I'm telling you is, we get up there, we kick our feet up, we sit back and we say, I'm on my way to paradise, my life's okay, and we forget there's other people out there in the water floating. And I tell you, how can people drive by and just let it happen? And Zacchaeus says, I just want to see who this Jesus is. Is He really who He says He is? And the Bible says this, we are either on a love boat or we are on a carnival cruise. We are either on the love boat where you're loving up on people, or you're on a carnival cruise that says, I'm so busy cruising and having so much fun that I don't have time to love up on people. When's the last time you pulled someone out of the life of a shipwreck? When's the last time, you know, and I look at it this way. You say, what would I do? How would I help someone out of a shipwreck? The number one thing I hear from Christians is, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Here's what you do. You go get in the canoe with them that's going over the waterfall, when they have no paddle to row anymore. Because what we do is we tend to sit on the sideline and go, hey! And the person's out there without their paddle, and they're going, huh, and they can hear the rapids, they might even hear the waterfall, and they know they're in trouble. Hey! I'm a Christian! You're about to go over some pretty rough waters! Yeah, exactly. I told you you were in trouble. Right? Oh. Yeah. Letting you know. If that's not Jesus. Well, here at Grace where it all happens. I love it. You know what? We can say from the shores, we can say it from the hillside with a nice outlook. We have a great outlook, folks. Honestly, we have a great outlook as a church, and we let people know how much trouble they're in. Hey, quit being so gay. Hey, quit getting drunk. Hey, quit being so stupid. Hey, start treating your wife better. Hey! And we scream it. You don't think those people know they're in trouble? Come on, folks. As if we in the world have something new in a corner on the market to let people know what sin is. People know in their heart. Listen, when you do wrong, you know in your heart when you've done wrong. Don't worry, that's not Jesus. It's just a little bit of air. You might even get out of your boat. You might even get off of the mountaintop and go down to the shore and say, hey! And you might grab something and say, here, reach out! And you might have some resources, maybe some money, maybe God's provided you with a house to help out, maybe a meal, and you reach out. Listen, that's great. Can I tell you something? That's great. Reach out and let somebody grab hold of it. Come on! And they look and they go, I can't. I can't reach. Look at Zacchaeus. The Bible says he was too short. Isn't that interesting? There's a metaphor. I'll tell you, that's a metaphor right there, because you know what? We are all too short to reach out to the arm of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We cannot reach the glory of God. We cannot reach to the glory of the shore. We cannot reach God's hand. And so you know what? Here's what God says. Don't just get in the water, because some of us get in the water and go, look it, I'm in the water. See, I can understand you. I'm in the water. And God says, don't just shout it. Don't just reach it. Don't just step. He says, get into the boat with them. And you know what they do? They look at you. And they say, and I've had people do this, what are you doing here? And I'll just tell you, I've been to some keggers in my days after being a Christian. I'd go with some of my youth. And they would lean over and say, why is your dad here? And the kids are like, that's not my dad. That's my pastor. Oh, my goodness. What's he doing here? What am I doing there? What do you mean, what am I doing there? I've been on the streets of Toronto with teenagers during the International Gay, Transsexual, Transgender Festival with 80,000 people in about two blocks on Church Street. I went to church. And I stood there and they said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm a pastor." "What are you doing here again?" "I don't know. I'm just here to talk to you. Just tell you God loves you." "Why?" "Don't ask me. I've just been in your boat before and I thought I'd just jump in with you for a while." Folks, if you're not willing to get in the boat with people, you're not going to understand anything. And I'll tell you, get off the cruise. You know, our cruise line is not about taking a cruise to paradise. Our cruise is about throwing a line. And Jesus says the line is to seek and to save what was lost. He's on his way through town. A guy who was too short and couldn't get there because of the crowd. He couldn't even get to Jesus because of the crowd. Oh boy, get me going on that. I'm going to jump out of my chair, I know. But I'll tell you what, the crowd is the church. He's referring to the church. All those people who know Jesus, all those people who are around Jesus, we can never get to Jesus. The people who need Jesus can't get to Him because they can't get to Him because of the crowd. You know what the crowd does? They say, "Hey, your type of people don't need to see Jesus. He's not interested in your kind. Look, we're on a cruise. There's no tickets left to this concert, to this cruise." And the Bible says Jesus going along looks up in a tree and here's this short man who would have been in his three-piece suit wearing his Armani up in this tree hugging a branch to get a glimpse of the Savior. "I just want to see who He is." And he's not expecting Jesus to touch him. And Jesus takes him, throws him a line. He throws him a line. He says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today." He throws him a line. Have you thrown anybody a line? "I'm going to your house today. I'm coming over." And there's Zacchaeus. He's holding on his branch. He goes, "What?" He says, "Come on down." And the whole crowd looks and goes, "You've got to be kidding me. Of all the people you could have thrown a line to, of all the people you could have lunch with, this guy up here, this guy's a thief. He's short. He's a jerk. He's this. He's not the kind of person that goes to, you don't go to people." And I love it. Luke says in his Bible, in his gospel, sinners. You see that in your Bible? Isn't that interesting? You don't find many quotations in quotations. He says, sinners were at his house. In other words, when Luke wrote this, you need to understand, he was saying, and everybody started grumbling, murmuring that he was with sinners. You ever been with sinners? Every day of my life. Today. Yesterday. Tomorrow. Of course we're with sinners. And I love it. Because you know what? He was too short. He was wealthy. He couldn't make it on his own. And because of the crowd, and Jesus throws him a line. He throws a line. The next thing, can I tell you, as a church at Grace, we are 1 year old. And I'm so excited what's happened in a year. I am so excited what's happened in a year. We need to not just throw a line. We need to row together. Here's the second thing. We need to row together. Jesus teaches us to row together. Why weren't these people, why had nobody thrown Zacchaeus a line before? "Hey, Zacchaeus, can I come over?" "Why?" "I want to talk to you about this Jesus." Nobody had ever thrown him a line before. Because they weren't rowing together. Okay, we're on the boat. Those of you that have joined the church, those of you that are joining the church, those of you who attend here, those of you that love the church, listen. Can I tell you something? We're going to row together. I'm going to teach you how to row together. We need to row in unity. The Bible says in verse 7, all the people saw him and said, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." These guys aren't on the same page. Some of you may say, "Pastor, I'm not sure I like the music. I'm not sure I like the kids program. I'm not sure I like the youth guy." Can I tell you something? Too bad. "Pastor, I'm not sure I like your sermon." Can I tell you something? Too bad. You either get on board or get off. Can I tell you something? If you don't like Grace, listen, that's okay. There's lots of churches out there cruising along. Go jump into another church that's cruising. But I have, when God a year ago said, he said to me, he said, "Mitch, start a church." I said, "Okay, I'll start a church." I knew after the last 20 years of ministry, if I ever started a church, what I'd like to do, if God would allow me to do it. And God has allowed me to do it. God has given us a vision. We spent the last year focused on a vision, saying, "This is who we are. Here is our compass. That's where we're going." And we got folks, you know what they do? They come in and they're like, "Hey, a new church. Great, I just left my old church. Hey, a new church. Great, I've never been to church. Hey, a new church. Great, I've been to church for 40 years. Pastor, we need this. Pastor, we need this. Pastor, we need this. You know what? Here's what we need. We need to follow God, and we need to stay on course. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're not going to go. There's people who come along, and I tell you, there's some great ideas, and they're wonderful ideas. And there's some ideas that are just bad ideas. I mean, just really, really bad ideas. And I get them all, and I'm going, wow, this is what senior pastors do. They get to hear all these things. And I do. I honestly, I love hearing them, but we may not do all of them. Because some people come along and they're just living on Fantasy Island. We're rolling along and said, hey, look over here. Look at all the boats over here. We should go over here. This must be the way church is. And they want to go over to Fantasy Island. And Fantasy Island's this idea that we're going to just kind of do this church thing. And people are just going to go, there's a new church in town. We should go because they put their name in the newspaper. We haven't put our name in the newspaper. We haven't spent a penny on advertising. Why would we spend a penny advertising to people who are floating in the water when they see this big billboard go by? The Good Ship Lollipop. It's a great trip to the candy shop where bonbons play and they're floating out there going, well, great. I'm glad they advertise. They don't know how to get on board. The only way they can get on board is if you'll jump overboard, get in the water with them, and bring them back on board. How in the world would... Why would somebody read in the newspaper? Now, they may do that, but can I tell you something? I got a better way. I got a better way. You throw them a line. Hey, I'm coming over to your house today. Let's have lunch. I think that's a great way to do church. So, we need to row together. And there's people rowing. And they go, hey, we should go over here. Or they go to Temptation Island. Here's the number one Temptation Island. The number one temptation in church when we're rowing together. I'm tired. I quit. You know that's the number one temptation, church, people quitting. You watch. You watch how many people will stop going to churches who start going to churches. It's a lot of folks. They have a bigger recidivism rate in the kingdom of darkness than they do in jail. In jail, it's about 80-85% recidivism rate. That means if I commit a crime, I'm released, I'm free. Going back and committing a crime again, it's about 85%. Do you know what the recidivism rate is for Christians? Oh, I used to be in jail. I was in sin. Jesus saved me. I'm going to go back to my sin. I guarantee it's probably about that high. People just go right on back. And Jesus talked about it, says a dog returns to its vomit. Why in the world would we cast pearl before swine? Why would we take what God has given us and throw it away to a bunch of pigs? He says, look, I got something great for you. I have something wonderful in your life. And so we row. Can I tell you something? A couple things. And here's just a pet peeve of mine. As we row together, and Jesus is trying to teach me, he says, are you not on the same page? And they go, what are you going to his house for? And he goes, because he needs me. No. And people start doing this, and they start rowing the other way. Could you imagine a bunch of oars in the water going different directions? You ever do that? My son and I, a couple months ago, we just whitewatered in a class 4 rapids out in California for a retreat. And we were on this thing, and we had these two junior high boys and their dads, and me and my son, and then the guide. He says, listen, when we hit Rattlesnake Rapids, that's what it was called. He says, we stopped our raft, and he says, I got to show you how to get through this. And he got a couple rocks and some sticks. He says, this curve here and this. He says, this rock here, it's about a 4-foot drop. If we miss, we're going to hit this thing. We're going to flip over. It's not going to be good. So here's how we're going to approach it. When I say paddle right, you paddle right. When I say back left, back left. When I say all paddle, you all paddle. Do not stop paddling or we'll be done. And we hit Rattlesnake Rapids, and I heard him when he said, all right, back left, and we're trying to make this curve to get through Rattlesnake Rapids. And then he said, all forward, and that was the part that was going to save our lives. And we started paddling all forward, and this young man in front of me just stopped paddling. He just was just kind of overwhelmed by it. He stopped, he just went, wow. And we hit a rapid so hard, we came down, and he went straight up. And he went over, and his dad was on that side. I was behind him near the back, and I watched this little guy. His name was Mitch, too. Him and his dad were from Canada. And he started going over, and I reached over and just kind of caught his vest with one hand, and I yanked him back into the boat. He goes, thanks. I said, paddle. And did he paddle? He grabbed a hold of that oar, and I'm telling you what, he was just going. And when the guy was like, okay, everybody just paddles up, you know, oars up. Oh, no, he was just like, it got his attention. I got to tell you got to paddle together, and you got to do what Jesus says. There are people who just want to do their own thing. And I'll tell you, there's some benefits from paddling. I want to give you two scriptures in the benefits from paddling. If you have your Bibles, look at Romans 15. I love this. Jot this down somewhere. Memorize this scripture. This is the benefit of being unified together. If you row together, God says, I will do this in your church. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. Look what he says. It says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement. Isn't that great? Look what he's going to give you as a church. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves. Row together. I will give you power in your church, in your lives. Listen, could you imagine the boat? I don't know if you've ever been in a boat that's been rowing together and doing things. It's a wonderful thing. There's power in rowing together. And there's frustration in a church. And maybe you've been there where people kind of do their own thing and you got a group rowing this way. You got a group rowing this way. And the pastor's up there going, hey, folks, can we row together? And they look at him and they shake their head, no. And then you got a group standing up on the Lido deck going, we don't even row. That's a pet peeve of mine. You ever been there? You're down there rowing. You're down there rowing. And you look up on the deck and you go, why aren't they rowing? Look at me. Look, I don't know if you can see my hands. I've got blisters on blisters. I've been peeling skin off of skin on my hands and my thing just from this. From going, not rowing. But you know what? In the church, we get to row in the children's ministry, and the ushers, and the greeters, in the best year's fellowship, and all the different ministries. And we row, and you just look and you go, they've been here for months. What are they doing up there? They're taking a free ride. And can I tell you something? It gets really old for people who are sitting there rowing your dead weight on some free trip to paradise. Can I tell you something? God has an oar for every one of you. It's a gift. He says, you will enjoy this because when you're down there rowing, you're sitting next to someone saying, man, we're working up a sweat. Yeah, look at you. You're looking pretty good. Guess where we're going? And then we stop and you hear, oars up. Why? Look out your porthole. And you look out your porthole and you see 30 or 40 people and they're all climbing up that net. And they're all coming up on board. And you go, man, that was worth rowing. Look what we just did. Look what just happened. Look at those kids. Did you see all those teenagers? Have you seen all the teenagers coming out here this summer? In the summertime, 40 or 50 teenagers in the summer of a brand new church. Did you see all those kids climbing the cargo nets? Man, it's good rowing. And somebody comes down and says, hey, we just rescued 50. Good job. Man, they start beating that drum again and you hear the cadence of the heavens count itself and your heart starts pounding. You go, let's row some more. Let's go get some more. Let's go get some more. And I'm telling you, those blisters don't hurt anymore. But I'll tell you what hurts is you look up on deck and people up there going, oh, look, we have to stop and pick up more people. See how much work this is going to be? We don't have room on this boat. Churches like that ought to be closed. I say we will not close because we know where we're going. We need to row together. Let me give you one more scripture on rowing. You'll love this. Turn in Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Got a few more minutes. Let me give this to you. You'll find the psalm right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm chapter 133. Look at what happens when we do this rowing together. Verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in what? Isn't that great? How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robe. Now, let me give you a little hint here. The oil is about healing. It's about having this. Here we go. The oil. When we're rowing together, we're like a well-oiled machine. How good and pleasant it is when that motor is running together. And he says, it's like oil running down on the beard and the robe. It's like this pleasant smell. And oil is always used in healing. He said, what a pleasant surprise when people are being healed and lives are being touched when we row together. Look what you can do if you'll just grab your oar and follow Jesus. And then he says this. It is like the dew of Hermon. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Do you know the Mount Hermon is one of the highest peaks in the Middle East? In fact, this is great. Those of you that have been to Wyoming and climbed the mountain, Wyoming, Laramie Peak, we climbed 10,400 feet to the top. Mount Hermon, to associate it, is 10,000 feet. It's about the same height. It's actually one of the only places over in the Middle East where they have snow caps almost year-round. And what's interesting is right below it is this desert. And if you've ever heard Lily of the Valley or the Rose of Sharon, roses grow in this desert. It's one of the hottest places in the Middle East. And how do roses and flowers grow in this area? Well, here's how. What happens is, because the heat in that desert, what happens is, and it talks about the dew of Hermon. The dew of Hermon, the dew every morning, what happens is at night when things begin to cool off, the heat begins to rise up out of that valley and hits those snow caps. And then it creates this misty dew that comes down, and it's about 2 inches deep of water in the desert. In the middle of the desert, beautiful roses grow. Isn't that a great picture? God says, in the middle of your deserts, I will cause this stuff to happen if you'll be unified together. If you'll row together, I'll do things in your life. I think this is a great picture that God gives us of being one in the Spirit. And of course, Philippians, I'll give you a bonus. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4 says, if any comfort, if any joy of being like-minded, be in a one heart, one mind, and one purpose. God tells us to be in one purpose. And so, at Grace, we are going to row together because there's benefits in rowing together. There's a lot of people that have their own ideas, and I'm glad. Go start a church if you have your own ideas. But here at Grace, we step in, we step up, and we step out. We step on into the ship, we step up to an oar, and we step out when we rescue people. That's who we are. That's who we began as, and all year we've been talking about it. And then the last thing we do, and I love what Zacchaeus, what happens. Zacchaeus gets pretty excited. And Carolyn, he couldn't sit in a seat even if he had a cast. He got so excited. He says, look, Lord, here and now, if I've robbed anybody, I want to pay you back. Anybody in here that I've robbed? Here's what he's doing. Is there anybody in here that I've offended? Have I said anything bad to anybody? Here, I want to tell you I'm sorry. Have I done anything wrong? Have I borrowed anybody's tools and not returned them? I want to return them today. And if I have robbed you, I will pay you back 4 times. If I borrowed $20 and you just were embarrassed to tell me, I want to give you $80 back. I don't know if you've ever done that. When I got saved, that happened to me. Right before I became a Christian, I was playing cards, poker with a guy one night, and I robbed him. I mean, it's what I used to do before I was a Christian. I mean, in California, that's what we did in our gang. We used to rob houses and cars and whatever we could get our hands on. And I went in and I robbed this guy. After I got saved and then began to understand and read what the Word says, something in my heart says, you need to pay him back. So I wrote him a letter, which is really bad because my uncle was the sheriff of the county. And I thought, I'm going to get arrested by my uncle when I go back to that city, because I was living in Oklahoma at the time after I got saved. And I thought, I'm going to go back to Ipswich and I'm going to get arrested. I wrote this letter, said, sorry for what happened. But my life is different. And I told him how my life was different. And I said, Christ has saved me, and you do what you want with it, but here's a check. Not for the amount, but for more than the amount. Because of what I had done. I felt so bad for what I had done. And I just wanted him to know that God had made a difference in my life. Zacchaeus was so excited. He's like, I'll pay back anybody 4 times. By the way, that's a Levitical law. That's actually Old Testament, 4 times. You don't pay back. Oh, I broke your vase. I'm sorry. You buy 4 vases. I crashed your car. I'm sorry. I'll pay 4 times the amount. Oh, my son broke your kid's Hot Wheel. I'm sorry. I'll buy you 4 Hot Wheels. As a society, we don't do that anymore. And we barely paid, you know, and he's saying, I just want you to know how excited I am. So not only do we have to throw a line, not only do we have to row together, but here's the last thing. We grow a whole fleet of ships. Look at what happens. You don't have just now this boat going along through town. Now you have a ship right in town. Zacchaeus says, guess what? I got a new cruise line. I'm the captain. My ship has just come in. And his life is no longer the same. He says, I'll pay back everybody 4 times that amount. And all of a sudden, his life becomes different. His house becomes a house of love. And he becomes a giver. Could you imagine how many boats he's going to build with all his money? How many he'll build with his money? He's a wealthy man, and Jesus gets him, and he gets his heart. And he says, I'm going to give it all away. He starts rescuing other people. Here's this man who couldn't even see Jesus. Jesus throws him a line. He gets on board. And he says, can I captain my own ship? And Jesus says, you bet you can. He says, I'll give four times the amount. What will it take to be captain of a ship? And Jesus says, not your money, your heart. It's his heart that's making the difference. Are you the captain? Has your ship come in this morning? I'm so excited. We have 11 ships in our fleet right now. We have 11 houses, Kirk was telling me. He's heading up our home groups. We have 11 ships. They're going to go out in neighborhoods, just in their home. They're just going to open up their houses. I went to one Friday night. I went over to one Friday night, and there are people everywhere. And I got to tell you, on this ship, they got some good food. No wonder why this ship is packed. I went over there, and I mean, they had food. They were barbecuing. They were eating. And I said, this is a good boat. And I'm telling you, you get on a cruise line like that, you're going to go. But more than that, they are just a loving family. They open up their house. No wonder why people go to their house. Because their ship is a loving ship. It's a love boat and not a carnival cruise. And you know what else they do? They get into the Word of God. They break the Word of God open and they get into that. And I'll tell you, that'll change lives. You know what's going to happen? Other people are going to say, can I build my own boat? And they're going to say, yes, you can. And somebody's going to open up their house. You know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to come to their house and go, this is great. This has changed my life. Zacchaeus is so excited. It changes his life. The other night, we decided to build another boat. We have 11 that are going to start up in a couple weeks here. We decided to we're going to expand our fleet. We're going international. We're doing world cruises. Sat down with Tim and Debbie Chaffee, and they said, Tim's going in a week to build with those kids. Maybe you don't know it, but we're helping sponsor the school. I've been there. Many of you have been there. 133 children, about half of them sick, just absolutely sick with dengue fever. They don't have a well. By the way, at their school of 133 kids, the school that we built, many of you built with us, that we're sponsoring, those children start in January school. We're hoping that they're not sick by then. And Tim's going down. He figured out a way to dig this well. He's doing it himself. He built his own well digger. He's got it in four cases, and he's taking it down. So pray for him as he goes to customs this week. What's all this stuff? Digging a well. And he's going to have water down there. But you know what he needed? He wanted to do it in the community because the people down there are looking, going, gringos, those American gringos. They don't like Americans. You understand, in the 80s when Reagan put an embargo around Nicaragua, a starving country, not only did it hurt them a little bit, it destroyed them as a country, and the poverty level sank down to be in number one, and even now number two. It's picked up a little bit. Just above Haiti, where kids live on garbage dumps to find food. I've been there. I've seen the plastic, the black visqueen that surrounds four sticks stuck in the mountainside where they live, and a little hole outside. That's their bathroom. They cleared the jungle area there because everything that they can burn to cook something, they burn. I've been there where 5,000 people live in the middle of Las Colinas, where that school is. And I've been with those children. I've been with those parents. I've watched what happens down there when a man sends his daughter out at 12 and 13. By the way, the average pregnancy rate's 13. Men take advantage. Parents use their children for whatever they can. We have a school down there where we're going to educate kids and talk about the love of God. It takes $20 to feed the entire school of 133 kids, but that's only for bread and water. We're digging a well. And I said, Tim, what do you need before you fly next week? So we're going to pay for his trip down. Another church has paid for the equipment, but you know what he needs? He needs land. He wants to go right in the middle of the community and have water for everyone in the community. And so he said, okay, you need some land. What will it take to purchase the land? He told us, and we said, okay. We met together, and because of every week what you give, we take 10% of that. We just use it in the community, whether it's the food truck that we used or mortgages or food or gas or car or whatever you need, heat bills. We do whatever. We just gave him the money. He's going to leave with money. He's going to purchase we're going to have right in the middle of Las Colinas area, we're going to have some land with a well on it where people can come and get water. Now, we can go get water anytime. We can go outside and get water today. They can't. You know what? We just built a ship. We just built a ship. You know why? Because we were going along. We saw these children. We said, you know what? Those kids need something. And I've been with Jose, who was 15 years old. And a little Jose didn't speak much English. I don't speak hardly any Spanish. And they sent us to the market one day to get some materials for building. Because he didn't have a driver's license, so I drove, and he had to give me directions, and he had to talk to him. And I'm thinking, okay, he's going to give me directions. How are we going to do this? Just point. And in my broken Spanish and his very broken English, we communicated all afternoon and spent the day together. And by the end of the day, we came back and he had my bandana on the top of his head with it pulled down, sitting outside the window. And I was sitting outside the window listening to some Spanish, I don't know what music, mariachi. And we're sitting there and he says, "Go, ¿qué? ¿Qué? What? What's this?" And I said, "We're chilling like a villain." And he goes, "Chilling?" I said, "Chilling like a villain." And so we got back and everybody at the camp, he goes, "Hey, hey, hey," and he's telling all the Americans, "Chilling like a villain." And he looks over at me and he goes, "Pastor, chilling like a villain." I said, "No, no, no, me no chilling like a villain. You chilling like a villain. Me gelling like a felon." And he goes, "Okay?" I said, "Never mind." And I said, "Let's show him our handshake." "Sweet." And we had this little handshake. I was just connecting with a 15-year-old boy who had nothing in his life. And he was looking to someone to say, "Have you seen Jesus?" "I can't. I'm not tall enough." Guess what? We're rescuing children. We're rescuing adults. Many of you have been rescued. I've been rescued. This ship is on its way. We're going to keep rowing this second year. Grab an oar. Join us. Because I'll tell you what, there's power and there's praise. There's healing when we row together. You want some lemonade this morning? There it is in the Word of God. We'll have a glass. We'll row together. We'll enjoy this cruise. And one day, we'll get to paradise. But along the way, we'll stay away from Fantasy Island and we'll stay away from Temptation Island and we'll just throw a line. And here's our line, folks. To seek and save that which is lost. It's a great cruise line. Let's cruise together. Shall we stand? Father in heaven, my heart is broken for people who are broken down on the side of the road. Father, my heart's broken for our sons and daughters, for our brothers and sisters, and maybe even our parents who have no idea how good it is. Father, help us help others. I pray that at grace, you will always keep us focused. Lord, help us to walk in step. Thank you for rescuing me. And I'm sure everybody here this morning could say the same. Thank you, Jesus, for throwing me a line that said, "You seek and you save what was lost." I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. Thank you for your amazing grace. How sweet that sound will be when people stop us for others. And they say, "How sweet the sound to hear. Man, are you lucky. You just missed it." Thank you, Jesus. I love you this morning. And I pray for anyone in here that may not know your amazing grace, that they would reach out, take a hold of you, because you took a hold of them. I pray for those in here that maybe have been cruising along waiting to see what we're all about. Maybe today, God, they said, "You know what? I'm going to take up an oar. This next year, I'm going to find a place to row with you guys. I don't want you to do this alone." Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for the lemonade this morning. It's been sweet. We love you this morning. Thanks for the rain outside. Father, I know it's been every Sunday. Would you just hold off next week, please? So we can baptize and picnic. And I know it sounds selfish, but Lord, we do want to baptize in that lake. So we love you and we thank you for your will to be done in our lives today. Thank you for friends who are here that I haven't seen in years. What a blessing that is. And for others who are coming back from the summer or traveling today, keep them safe. As we leave from this place, it is my benediction that, Father, you would keep us, you would equip us, and you would send us. And like Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.